What are the important elements of community, and how does Messiah's body function, and what does he require?
Can I ask a question, though? What or who is the community?
Sorry?
What or who constitutes the community? Is it those who persecute us? Is that part of the community or not? Is the enemy part of the community, or just those who attend, or people who are believers of Christians or friends or whatever? Like, who is the community?
Maybe I'll answer that as we talk a little bit later. But certainly the community is only those who Jehovah, Yeshua said, I will build my community. And if he hasn't placed that stone into his building, they are not part of his community.
So just because if you're a Christian or believer and you're not?
You should be, but you're not necessarily. But that'll become clearer. It's a bit like Beth was saying, there's a process of understanding and learning that, and I've learnt the hard way, that what you teach on, I understand very clearly where I'm coming from, what I'm saying, why I'm saying it, but then I realise nobody else does. And so I just say words, but you don't have the same context as me as to where I'm coming from. And so I have to say it about 50 times over a period of time before it starts to have meaning and relevance and context. And so it's the same thing. Community, kingdom is a well-established concept in my mind, and I understand how I understand it. And I see what Jehovah is trying to say through it. But then you have to convey that to a group of people who are coming from different perspectives and different backgrounds, different understandings. And like Paul said, we read last week, I think it was last week, where he said, I know I have told you this before, but it's no burden for me to tell you again, because you need to hear it reinforced to enter into understanding of what it is I'm trying to say. So yeah, community has a very defined purpose in the scriptures, and it defines its boundaries, and it defines who's part of it and who isn't. And the kingdom of Jehovah and the community is one and the same thing. And I've taught on this before. But this community, and whatever community Jehovah raises up, is meant to be a little microcosm of the bigger kingdom which is to come. We are meant to be living kingdom lives in its honesty, in its truth, in its relationships, in its care, in its love. We are meant to be a message to the world of what the kingdom of God is like. And so the community is a little touch of Jehovah's kingdom on the earth now, is what we are meant to be revealing to the world. They shall know you are mine by your love for one another. And that word love embraces every aspect of community we want to think of. Yeah. So no, it doesn't mean our enemies. It doesn't include our enemies. It only includes who Jehovah says it includes. And so when some people start knocking on the door of the kingdom and he says, I don't know you, depart from me, they weren't part of his kingdom. They weren't part of his community. Something had gone astray.
He also said about enemy being kind to them and doing all the right thing and heaping coals on them. Yep. So that's...
That doesn't make them community. It means you're acting like a kingdom child towards those who he wants to be part of the kingdom but who are refusing to be part of it. How we behave towards someone is our community heart being expressed towards those around us. But it doesn't make them part of the community necessarily. Yep. The important elements of community and the functioning of the body, I'll just read out these couple of points which highlights what most of you have said, but some things haven't been said. And of course they're the same things rephrased in different ways, a lot of them. But community, is time spent together in praying, worshipping, working, fellowshipping. That's what develops culture, develops relationships, develops strength of connection and bonding and joining. And you can only have it when you spend time together in different contexts. And you find all of those things in the scriptures, of course we do. It's commitment to one another. And I think that's been highlighted in the fact of it's what Beth was saying, you have to make a definite positive response to something. It's a commitment to one. It's not just, oh, I'll turn up. It's a commitment to each other. And that's one of the essences of being a community. Developing a unity of the faith. That's what has been highlighted. It's a tough one because it does demand change in what we think, what we've believed, what we've been taught, to have a unified faith. All thinking and believing the same thing. Which is based on a love of Torah, because it all foundations out from that. Walking in the unity of the Ruach. We have to walk in unity, oneness, humbleness, respect. And only the spirit within can gender that desire, because not something that, as you have been saying, can happen automatically. You have to work at it. Walking in unity of the spirit. Quick to forgive and to resolve differences. Very important if we want to be community. A community has to be quick to forgive and a desire to resolve differences. One that hasn't been mentioned by anybody, share in the financial needs through tithes and offerings. That's community. Community can't function without shared giving, taking responsibility for how we function financially. And that's part of being community. And we see plenty of that throughout the scriptures. Using our abilities, talents, gifts to serve. What Jehovah has blessed us with is not to do anything we want with, it's that we may serve one another. That's been highlighted, serve Him. A humility that submits to one another, that's been highlighted. Have a love of God and a love of one another that transcends self, that transcends selfishness. That can be as difficult to come to terms with as learning a new doctrine. How to just love others and Jehovah in a manner that kind of my selfishness has to disappear. A resolve to live this kingdom lifestyle as one body. Being hospitable. We read all that in Romans 12. A heartbeat and a spirit that says, I am hospitable. I am willing to be there, to embrace, to welcome, to gather in, to serve, to bless those around me. Okay. I want to at least introduce the continuation of the subject. And it probably gets a bit tougher rather than easier. And I just call this Messiah's Community, Life Membership. We've had, I guess if you've been in the ministry and most of your life, and you've pastored peoples and churches, you see multitudes of people coming and going. something I don't like, I'm going. I remember one woman that came into my office one day, in Mildura it was, and I could probably tell you lots of these stories, and you probably had some yourself. And wants to give me a good berating about what she doesn't like about me and my teaching and blah, 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 and tells me what she thinks of this, that and the other. And some people have no compunction in doing that. They make an appointment to see you and then all they want to do is tell you off. And then she finishes off by saying, and I'm not giving you and your church any money. I suppose she thought that would be intimidating and threatening to me, to help pull me into line and listen to what she's saying. Foolish woman. Money has never been anything that's caused me to respond positively or otherwise. So I just said to her, I said, well, I've never asked you for 1 cent and I'm not asking you for anything now and you do not have to give anything. Because she didn't listen to that, she just kept talking over the top of me, just as some people do. But people are like that and you can't understand why. If you've got a question, you come and ask a question. If you've got a difference of opinion, you have a difference of opinion. That's fine. Come and discuss your difference of opinion. And if heaven and hell don't hang on it, then you keep your difference of opinion. That's fine. But some people get pretty riled up and never want to deal with the real issues of their heart. That's not community attitude. That is not a spirit of unity and oneness or a desire of resolving and becoming one, reconciled. No, it's just, that's not the way it works. It's the exact opposite of what we would call community. So I thought, it's been on my mind for quite a while, to just maybe push the boundaries a little of what the scriptures say is community and responsibility and how he defines it and looks at it. Even in this period of time that this group's been going, we've had a lot of people come and go, for various reasons. Even when there's been supernatural, powerful reasons why Jehovah has brought them into this place and walked away. Some people get offended very easily at someone's comment or someone says something they don't like and they take it personally and then they write you off. That's not community. Certainly not scripture. Certainly not built on, there's no integrity in that kind of thing. But these things happen. And at some point in time, you have to address the what is Jehovah requiring and expecting of his body. Because it's his name that's at stake in all of this.
What's that scripture that says, until we come to unity of the Spirit?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I can't quote the whole thing, yes. But, you know, so it's not an original thing. We gradually
something
to
we work into, yeah, yes, work develop, yep. Let's read, and we'll probably read that now, Ephesians chapter 2, just as a, I'm not going to speak into this scripture, but it'll lay the foundation. Ephesians 2, verse 19, through to Ephesians 4, chapter 3. Remembering the context is his body, his community. And the terminology that he uses. Ephesians 2, 19. So then, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with Elohim's people and members of Elohim's household. Just take note of the terminology, household. Members of his household. You've been built on the foundation made up of the apostles and prophets, with Messiah, Yeshua himself, being the cornerstone. In him, the whole building, being fitted together is growing into a Kadosh temple for Jehovah. In him you also are being built together into Elohim's dwelling place in the Ruach. So this is his definitions of him bringing a people together and saying, I'm building you together into God's dwelling. For this reason, I, Paul, am a prisoner of Messiah Yeshua for the sake of you Gentiles. Surely you have heard about the plan of Elohim's favor given to me for you, that the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote briefly. When you read this, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Messiah, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Ruach to his set-apart apostles and prophets. This mystery is that the Gentiles are joint heirs and fellow members of the same body, co-sharers of the promise in Messiah Yeshua through the good news. I became a servant of this good news by the gift of Elohim's favor given to me through the exercise of his power. This favor was given to me, the very least of his set-apart ones, to proclaim to the Gentiles the endless riches of the Messiah and to bring to light the plan of the mystery. So he has a plan, which for ages was hidden in Elohim who created all things. The purpose is that through Messiah's community, the multifaceted wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. It's an interesting verse. I've always loved that verse. Because a community built by Jehovah, called his house and his temple, is a message to Satan and every demonic force and demonic power that this unified community of believers is expressing the mystery of my plan of bringing the world into harmony and oneness with me. And this community is meant to paint a picture that tells Satan something. Otherwise, he wins. And it'll become clearer. Verse 11, which is in keeping with the eternal purpose that he carried out in Messiah Yeshua, our Adonai. In him, we have boldness and access with confidence through trusting in him. So I ask you not to be discouraged by my troubles on your behalf. They are your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. From him, every family in heaven and on earth receives its name. I pray that from his glorious riches that he would grant you to be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Ruach, so that Messiah may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to grasp with all the Kedoshim what is the width and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Messiah, which surpasses knowledge, so you may be filled up with all the fullness of Elohim. See, all of these things are absolutely impossible other than in a community context. We can't become those things, we can't receive those things, and we can't enter into the fullness of understanding of those things other than in community relationships, because you're working through issues all the time, working through understanding, receiving new knowledge, new glimpses of how the power of the Father is manifesting all his virtues through us as individuals. And that this great love of his, which surpasses knowledge, may be so you may be filled up with all the fullness of Elohim. If I'm out there on my own, I'm just a selfish individual, living my life as I want, how I want, doing what I want, when I want, how I want, and I never learn any of this stuff because I haven't got you to rub off all the rough edges, to bring humility into this being, to demonstrate what it means to love one another instead of just loving myself. I can never understand or embrace or require the knowledge of who he is and how all of these things work, and how that when this stuff is all working, it sends a powerful message into the heavenlies of we are the product of the great plan of the mystery of Jehovah. And his power, his protection, his love, his provision, his goodness, his kindness is being manifest among us. Smacks him in the face. Verse 20, now to him who is able to go to do far beyond all that we ask or imagine by means of his power that works in us, to him be the honour. Where? In the community of believers and in Messiah Yeshua throughout all generations forever and ever. Therefore, I, a prisoner for Jehovah, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you were called, with complete humility and gentleness, with patience, putting up with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Ruach in the bond of Shalom. That'll do.
What's Kedoshim again?
Is set that apart.
So it's not community. It's that's the community.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It means to be separated unto. Yep. Yep. But there's a lot of terminology in there and a lot of references there that speak to a body of people. And he calls it a building, a house, a temple, a community, a family. He's using all these synonyms that help describe what it means to be members one of another in the purposes of Jehovah. So the question that comes to mind is, how well do we understand the purpose of saying yes to Yeshua as our Savior? What is the purpose of me giving my life to Yeshua? And it's not just about finding forgiveness for our sins and a ticket to heaven. When we read those scriptures, we find, hey, it's a lot more than just that. And Christianity has a lot to answer for in this regard, because that's the mindset that is uppermost. Because all of this makes a mockery of Jehovah's wisdom, of Jehovah's ways, of his greatness, of his kingdom plan, the mystery of Israel and the one body. Why two comings of Yeshua? What's the complexity of the end times and world affairs about? And what about the kahal, or the community, that Yeshua said he specifically came to establish and build? When you say yes to Yeshua, you take on lifelong responsibilities and commitments. It's much more than just saying, yes, I want someone to forgive me my sins and bring me to heaven. No, there is a whole community, kingdom, purpose that he is wanting to outwork in the people that he says, I will build and bring together to be my body and my expression upon the earth. If Jehovah puts us into a particular family or community, can we take ourselves out? Who gave us permission to abandon Jehovah's community? That's a very real question. Who gives us the right to walk away from a community that Jehovah has put us in, if he put us in? Scripture is very clear to me that he does. Yeshua doesn't save individuals and then say, that's okay, go and do your own thing. No, he doesn't say that anywhere in Scripture. That's the complete opposite of salvation's purpose. It's carnal, it's fleshly, it's childish, it's rebellious, it's destructive behavior. And all of those truths are in the scripture, and we have to come to terms with them. I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. The kahal, the body, is called a family, a community of believers, a city, a desired haven. We'll see all these terms as we just go through. And this is what his body is being called, named, synonyms that describe relationships, the kind of relationships that come out of community. And everything that Elohim says about Israel and has promised to Israel and provided for Israel is exactly the same for Gentiles by becoming joint heirs and fellow members of the same body. And Paul declares that this is the good news. In Ephesians 3, 1-7, Paul said, that is the good news for which I have been called. Jew, Gentile, becoming one body in Yeshua, the Messiah. We are joint heirs and fellow members of that one body. So Jehovah has called us to be a family, a community, not a random collection of individuals. He puts us together as a body and into families. Why do people leave their assigned family and go nowhere? Or change groups? Why? Why do people do that?
Usually because they want their own way.
True.
Well, I think a very good example would be, if we go on a smaller unit, is a marriage.
It is.
True.
The perfect picture.
That's absolutely beautiful.
Yep. What is happening? Sorry?
A lot of times people are not willing to change.
Very unwilling to change. Yeah. It's always, when I, as Jim said, when I marry Glenn, I'll change her. or the wife says, oh no, he's okay. My father's warning me about that woman, about that man. No, I'll change him. I'll change him. No, that's foolish. No. Yep, change. Difficult. Because people don't want to change, and you can't make them change.
It's a hardness of heart.
It is a hardness of heart.
That's exactly what it is.
Yes, it is.
See, people who left the group, it's a hardening.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter. You could talk until the cows come home, and that's a fact.
Yes.
And you can't break down that barrier. It's only the Ruach who can break that down.
It's very true.
And
that's
Jehovah won't break it down if the people aren't willing.
And there has to be.
That's what I'm saying. You can talk till the cows come home. You can't do it.
Yeah.
There has to be commitment to the process, commitment to the group, commitment to one another, to follow the truth of what Romans 12 and all of these scriptures are saying. I'm committed to the truth of what
then
that is.
Why did they come in the first place? That's the question, isn't it?
Because. And that's the question I ask.
They want to put half a foot in, you know, feel the water and then pull it out.
I think a lot of people.
You don't define what the group means, what community means.
Yeah. Well, some of them have been there
a long time.
Long enough.
So I think, especially.
That's not it.
No, but in my own family, there's a huge dissatisfaction because their so called community is actually the church and they know that it's wrong. Like, we knew it was wrong, but there was nothing else.
Yeah.
And so you've got this vast Christian group of wanderers who go from church to church, and sure, it's because something's hit a nerve and they've got the salts and left, and there's a million reasons, but there is a group of people who are seeking community.
Absolutely
don't
true.
Don't know what it is they're looking for or where to find it, because there are not many groups like this.
Yes.
Very few.
But seek and you'll find, and they will, just as I found this group.
Eventually,
One word in one woman's ear. And she said, I don't know whether this is what you're looking for, but she said,
yes.
You know, here's this person's name.
And I think everyone that's come has genuinely come because they knew in their spirit that there was something here they wanted to embrace, understand, be a part of, even without knowing who we are and where we're going and what we believe. Supernaturally and sovereignly, many people have been brought here by God.
Yeah.
Now, they don't know what I teach. They don't know my approach. They don't know me as a personality, but God knows me. And that's the thing people have to get into their mind. He knows me. He knows this group. He knows what I'll teach. He knows how I will conduct things in this group. They don't know that. He does. And if Jehovah brought them here supernaturally, sovereignly, and gave them powerful encounters, he knows what they're going to be confronted with. And so he places us in here, and people come genuinely wanting to be fully a part of everything that we are. But soon as something challenges or demands change or requires a humbling of oneself and a submitting of oneself to other people's ideas and ways of seeing and doing things, and you realize that means that I have to make a big adjustment, or I have to forgive, or I have to reconcile, I have to adjust. Sometimes people say no. And as we've been saying, something stiffness of heart rises up because there's a rebellion in there.
So they find that the price is too much to pay.
Yeah, self gets in the way. It's a selfish, selfish, selfish approach. And it is a price.
That word rebellion is the key driver in our spirits.
Yeah.
It's rebellion rising up against authority, against requests.
1 Samuel 8, 7 and 9. No, it's not that cognitive.
I don't think it's ever that cognitive.
No. No. And as I said, Christianity has a lot to answer in this regard, because that has become the norm. If I don't like it there, I go someplace else. And many leaders have been so hard-nosed themselves, they will not listen to people. They won't let you question them and say, why do you believe that, or why did you teach that, or why did you do that or say that? They are part of the big part of the problem, yes.
Yep. The other interesting thing is, you know, like you're saying, you know, rebelling against authority and stuff like that, but here, that authority is, I mean, it's here, but it's not here, because it's not that you must believe our way. It's this is how we see it, and we're happy to have a conversation with you about it, and we're happy for you to not even accept that, as long as you can fit that into this community and be in this community and allow them to think and see where they're at. Because, I mean, we all know that each of us have done this journey so far at different paces, and we've had to, you know, wait for the slower ones or slow down the fast ones or whatever it's taken for us to stay together and make sure that we're moving as like a swarm rather than all these individuals going, you know, along the path wherever they're at. And so for them to be rebelling against authority is really not valid in this group, I don't think, because they're never told. Sorry?
I don't think it's valid in this group either.
No, because it isn't there that you have to think this way.
But one thing I do think is that there's an arrogance maybe in people that they think that my way of thinking is the right way.
Exactly.
Thinking.
That's
and
what
that
it
is
down.
Very common today.
Yeah.
You know, if you're on the left, you're right, and if you're on the right, you're wrong. And so there is that feeling. If they don't believe what I believe, then I will go elsewhere until I find somebody that I can fit in with. Doesn't matter that I might be wrong, because they wouldn't even accept the fact that they could be wrong.
But they can be here and be in that place of...
So there it gets back to the hardening of your heart, you know, that you're not prepared to sit and ponder on it, you know?
Yep.
Meditate on it for 12 months or 2 years or whatever.
That's what you've got the Torah for.
Yep, it is.
But then somehow they...
So 1 Samuel 8. 7 to 9. So what's happening? Who are they rejecting?
Rejecting the spirit of God.
Then Jehovah said to Samuel, "Listen to the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, rather they have rejected me from being king over them. Like all the deeds that they have done since the day I brought them out of Egypt to this day, forsaking me and worshipping other gods, so they are doing to you also. So now listen to their voice. However, you must earnestly forewarn them and declare to them the rulings of the king who will reign over them." Sometimes Jehovah gives people what they want for a time, but at a great price. And we know how upset Samuel got when the people kept saying, "No, we don't want you and your family, we want our own king." He said, "They're rejecting me, Samuel, they're not rejecting you." 1 Samuel 15.
Hard not to take it personally, though.
Oh, of course it is.
A lot of maturity needed to not take it personally.
What is this, 1? 20 to 23. Yeah. Of course, you have to take it personally in the sense that you're representing Jehovah in what you're saying. But in the end, they're not rejecting you. If you're sharing what Jehovah says, they're rejecting him, rejecting his word, rejecting what he's requiring of them. And so the person is just a secondary meadery. Don't shoot the messenger kind of thing. Saul says, "But I did obey the voice of Jehovah." Saul said to Samuel, "I went on the mission on which Jehovah sent me, brought back Agag, the king of Amalek, and utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took some of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the best of what was under the ban of destruction, to sacrifice to Jehovah, your Elohim, in Gilgal." Samuel said, "Does Jehovah delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of Jehovah? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to pay heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination and stubbornness. Divination and stubbornness is like iniquity and idolatry. Since you have rejected Jehovah's word, he has also rejected you as king." But he let him be king for 40 years, even though he'd rejected him. There's a lot in that. But rejection of his word and his voice and Jehovah's leading, rejection of his will, is rebellion and stubbornness. Disobedience and idolatry makes putting self first, and can make our own sacrifices and offerings null and void. If we refuse to reconcile and forgive, our sacrifices are not accepted. And Jehovah refuses to forgive us our sins. And if we don't take these things into focus, then we're doing ourselves a very big injustice. Jehovah says, "I'm not interested in your sacrifices. If you know your brother's got something against you, or you've got something to your brother, leave your sacrifice at the altar and go and make it right and be reconciled." That's what he says we have to do. You don't walk away and say, "Huh." No, you sort it out and you reconcile. Otherwise, he says, any sacrifice, any offering, any prayer that you bring to me, I'm not listening, because you've got something against your brother. And Paul says in Corinthians, "For this reason, many are sick, many have died, because you are holding things in your heart against the body, your brother, and you are not examining your own hearts and attitudes, and Jehovah's not honoring what you want him to honor." That's the importance of community. So he is saying, you don't walk away, you resolve. You don't say, "I don't believe that, I'll find someone who does." No, he says, "I placed you here, and I'm placed you here for a reason, because I want to bring change. I want to bring new direction. I want to put you on a new journey. I want to take you on a life's path that's been different to the one you've been on." That's the importance of community. and he doesn't allow us just to walk away from it. And so why do people leave their assigned families, go and stay home, go nowhere, or keep changing groups? Those are the reasons. And that's the beauty of the apostolic model. The kahal, or the congregation in the city. One kahal, or one community in many homes, all under the same teaching, the same leadership structure. That's the beauty of the model that you find in the book of Acts and in the epistles. Paul says, I went from home to home teaching you. John says the same thing. They all say the same thing. It's one church, one kahal, one congregation in the city, and they're all meeting in homes, and the apostles and the elders and the teachers were moving around those homes, teaching, instructing, keeping them together as one. So where do you go? If you go from this one, you go to another one, we're all the same. We're identical, under the same teachers, under the same instruction, all following the same book, all having to make right with one another because there's no place else to go. The beauty of the biblical model rather than man's model. Paul says in Corinthians, or to the Corinthian body, as I said before, we're bought with a price. Therefore, we're not free agents to do what we like or to act as we please. Jehovah sets the parameters and the expectations and the requirements for our behavior and our relationships. Just some verses just out of 1 Corinthians 6, 1 to 8. Does any one of you, when he has a matter against his neighbour, dare go to court before the unrighteous and not before the Kedoshim, your own? Don't you know that the Kedoshim will judge the world? And if the world is to be judged by you, are you incompetent to judge trivial matters? Don't you know that we will judge angels? How much more the matters of this life? So if you have courts for matters of this life, why do you appoint as judges those who have no standing in the community? So he's saying there, if you have courts, or if you have a means of making judgments on disputes and differences amongst yourselves, why are you going to judges outside of this community? I say this to put you to shame. Isn't there even one wise man among you who will be able to settle disputes between his brethren? Instead, a brother goes to court against a brother, and before unbelievers at that. Therefore, it's already an utter failure for you that you have lawsuits among yourselves. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? But you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and against your brothers and sisters at that. Community is community for a reason, because we're developing relationships, trust, love, forgiveness, putting things right, paying respect, reconciling. That's the greatest message to Satan, his demons, and everyone who follows them. This is what Paul is saying, is the greatest message to the world about what it means to love your brother and to be a part of Yeshua, the Savior, Redeemer. This is what he came to do. This is the power of salvation. This is the power of redemption. It can bring enemies together and make them one in love and in community. What a powerful message is that. Verses, same chapter, verses 19 and 20. don't you know that the body is a temple of the Ruach HaKodesh, who is in you, whom you have from Elohim, and that you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify Elohim in the body. It says your body, but it's in the body. Chapter 7, 1 Corinthians, verses 17 to 24. Only as Jehovah has assigned to each one, as Elohim has called each, let him walk in this way. I give this rule in all of Messiah's communities. Where does he give this rule? In all of Messiah's communities. Was anyone called when he was already had been circumcised? Let him not make himself uncircumcised. Has anyone been called whilst uncircumcised? Let him not allow himself to be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. But keeping God's commandments matters. Let each one remain in the calling in which he was called. Were you called as a slave? Don't let that bother you. If indeed you can become free, make the most of the opportunity. For the one who was called in Jehovah as a slave is Jehovah's freedman, or Yeshua's. Likewise, the one who was called while free is Messiah's slave. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brothers and sisters, let each one, in whatever way he was called, remain that way with Elohim. We are a community. We were bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 1, go back to chapter 1, verses 10 to 13. Now I urge you, brothers and sisters, through the name of Adonai Yeshua the Messiah, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and in the same purpose. For it has been reported to me concerning you, my brothers and sisters, by those who are from Chloe's household, that there are rivalries among you. I say this because you are each saying, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, I follow Peter, or I follow the Messiah. Has Messiah been divided? Paul wasn't crucified for you, was he? Or were you immersed into the name of Paul? So here we find that there are differences between people, and picking favorites based on personality and charisma. Now, I won't go to Sabbath today. Paul's preaching and I like Apollos. Peter's more, he gives a better word than Paul does or Apollos does, and I'm going to follow him, and I'm only going to go where he happens to be. And then he gives, you know, this kind of attitude and behavior. But did Paul say, well, just leave and keep the peace? If there's disunity among you, and if there is problems among you and disagreements among you, keep the peace, just leave and go someplace else? No, he didn't say that. Because when you do that, it just creates discontent and unforgiveness and bitterness and misunderstandings, creates walls of division, Satan wins. Last thing we need to be reconciled. Chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. And I, brothers and sisters, could not speak to you as spirit-filled, but as worldly, as infants in Messiah. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready. Indeed, even now you are not ready, for you are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, aren't you worldly and walking in a human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, another says, I follow Apollos, are you not mere humans? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to trust, and to each as Jehovah gave. I planted, Apollos watered, Elohim gave the increase. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only Elohim who makes things grow. Now he who plants and he who waters work as one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are Elohim's co-workers, you are Elohim's field, Elohim's building. So Paul says jealousy, strife, differences, problems among you, and you're not sorting them out and behaving properly, then you're worldly, you're childish, you're fleshly. And he says, sort it out. Don't walk away. Why? Because it's important not to. You are Elohim's field. You are Elohim's building. Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, chapter 13. This is the third time I'm coming to you. By the testimony of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I spoke a warning when I was with you the second time. Though now I am away, I'm again speaking a warning to those who have sinned before, as was to all the rest, that if I come again, I will not spare anyone, since you are demanding proof that Messiah is speaking through me. He is not weak toward you, but powerful among you, for he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives through the power of Elohim. For we also are weak in him, yet we shall live with him by God's power toward you. Test yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Examine yourselves, or don't you know yourselves, that Messiah Yeshua is in you, unless, of course, you failed the test. But I hope that you will realize that we haven't failed the test. Now we pray to Elohim that you do no wrong, not so that we may appear to have passed the test, but in order that you may do what is right, even if we may seem to have failed. For we can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. For we rejoice when we are weak and you are strong. We also pray for this, your perfecting. For this reason I write these things while I am absent, so that when I am present, I need not proceed harshly, according to the authority which Jehovah gave me, for building up and not for tearing down. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice, aim for restoration, encourage one another, be of the same mind, live in shalom, and the Elohim of love and shalom will be with you. Greet one another with a kadosh kiss. All the kadoshim greet you. The favor of Adonai Yeshua the Messiah, and the love of Elohim, and the fellowship of the Ruach HaKodesh be with you all. Amen. Here Paul is exercising apostolic authority. For what purpose? To protect the body. And Paul's warnings have come to the rebellious how many times? Three times. He says, this is the third time I'm warning you, and I don't want to have to come and do it again, because I'm going to be very harsh if I have to come and sort out problems between you that you should have sorted out before. What's the aim? What is the aim? Verse 11 was the aim. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Aim for what? Restoration. Encourage one another to be of the same mind, to live in shalom, peace, and the Elohim and love and shalom be with you. So he is warning, he is threatening, and he is speaking to them, warning to those who have sinned before as well as to the rest, that if I come again, I will not spare anyone. The purpose, he wants them to reconcile, to have peace, to have shalom, and to have the love of Jehovah flowing amongst them. But obviously, within the community of Corinth, there were people who were pretty hard-hearted, hard nuts, and they weren't going to change back down for anybody. And as we read in chapter 1, even to the point where they'd take each other to court because there's something they didn't like, or they'd been wronged, or something had been stolen. Who knows what it was? But there was a lot of stuff going on there that Jehovah, that he was trying to deal with. So just finish with 1 Corinthians 12, verses 13 and 14 and 18. We know the passage well. For just as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also is Messiah. For in one Ruach we were all immersed into one body, whether Jewish or Greek, slave or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body is one part, but for the body is not one part, but many. But now Elohim has placed the parts, each one of them, in the body as he desired. So we're here because he placed us here. The Spirit immerses us into the body. And Jehovah has us immersed into the body where it pleases him, to function in a manner that's honouring and pleasing unto him. And the one body, scripturally, you can't be part of the one body if you are not connected to a community that is an expression of that body. And Paul is saying to the believers in Corinth, you are one body. And Jehovah has immersed you by his Ruach into that body. It doesn't say I immersed you into the body at Canman 2 or Echunga or Adelaide. No, I immersed you into this body. And each one of them as he desired. He knows where to assimilate and to put his body. He knows where he wants an arm and a leg and a sinew and a bone. He knows how to join people together who have personalities and natures and capacities and abilities to bless one another. And we have to take the scriptures as they are written and not try and turn it into something else. I cannot forsake you and go and live by myself and say I'm part of the body, because it doesn't function. I can't cut off this arm and stick it out there on the road somewhere and say this arm's going to function and do its job. It can't. It's been dissected from the body. It can't be the arm it needs to be. It can't help this body function. And Paul uses the body for that very reason. I cannot take myself away from this body where Jehovah has placed me and think that I'm functioning as part of the body. I'm fooling myself. I'm not being pleasing unto Jehovah. I'm not doing his will. I'm not developing what he wants to develop. He wants to build a building. We'll finish it next week. But he wants to build a building, and he places the stones into that building where his Ruach can come and bless us. That doesn't mean that people can't ever leave a group. Sometimes you're told to get rid of people out of a group. The apostles say, You get a divisive person who won't listen to you after the second or third warning, put them out. If you have people in your body that are living in sin, contrary to the scripture, and you've been warning them, put them out. Sometimes people are a misfit because of bad behavior and rebellious spirits and bad attitudes. Don't let the cancer destroy the body. Deal with the problem. But all things being equal, Jehovah says, I have lots of people that I love and I want to join them to a body. I want to join them to a family. I want to join them to a community. And we've got lots of verses and scriptures that use this terminology and say these things. But we'll finish it off just next week. And he wants the community to understand and to appreciate and to value one another, because it shows how much we love Jehovah. Because his love for us is demonstrated by our love for one another. He says, don't say you love me if you don't love your brother. You're a liar. That's what John said in his epistles. So he says our love for one another is our demonstration of our love for Jehovah. And vice versa. If we love Jehovah, then we'll love one another. He's wanting to produce a world that loves one another. He's wanting to produce a world that is patient and tolerant with one another. He wants to produce a world that is forgiving and loving and reconciling and bringing peace amongst one another. And he wants us to demonstrate it. The whole world wants what we've got. The whole world wants peace. The whole world wants reconciliation. The whole world. But there's only one way to do it, through him. And he is going to bring in his kingdom that'll fill the whole world. But he wants us to demonstrate what it's like here now through being his body and members one of another who are there with the aim to love, to share, to bless, to care about, be concerned for, and to just show genuine friendship and fellowship and let nothing divide us. Satan can't win, but he gets a message of the great power of the mystery of the plan of Jehovah in creating a body that is Messiah's body on the earth. Yeah. Father, we pray that you'll help us to have open hearts and open minds, and that you will open our hearts and open our minds to greater understanding and greater development of our walk with you and our relationships with one another and our commitments to the truth of your word. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will bring an ever-increasing joy and freedom and peace within to our hearts and minds, and a love, Father, for the life that you've given us, a life of abundance and blessing that's founded in you, a spiritual freedom, a rejoicing and a hope in our heart that says, eternity belongs to me in Yeshua the Messiah. Father, we pray that more and more you will help us to embrace the power of community, the power of the body of Yeshua, the power of that which he is building together, the wonder and the joy and the expression and the blessing of brothers and sisters of one heart and one mind, journeying together on a journey of discovery and of blessing and of a kingdom that lies ahead that will fill the whole earth and that we desire and hunger to be a part of. Father, we thank you for what you have portrayed through your word, through your apostles, through your prophets, and have relayed to us over the centuries, the generations, and the millennium. We thank you for your loving kindness to all mankind and your great redemptive saving favor that is being, Father, extended to each and every person on this planet. May many hearts be opened. May many minds be opened. May, Father, many of our loved ones and our families see what's happening in the world and begin to reevaluate their spiritual stance and belief. And Father, may the truth of past things come alive in their hearts by the power of your Ruach doing a work within them. We pray in Yeshua's name. And bless this food and our fellowship together around it. Thank you for its provision. We thank you, Father, for every good thing which comes from above. Amen. Amen.